Good afternoon, folks. Nice to see so many of you here in the church building for a little refreshment this midday. Welcome as well to those of you who may be joining us online. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Andrew, and I'm a member of the congregation here. Our heading today for my short reflection is flexible faith. So my first question for you is, how flexible are you? Physically, of course, we think about our flexibility in terms of how we're able to move and maybe the bits that don't might maybe move quite as well as they used to. But there's also flexibility of our minds. To what extent are we open to new thinking, new ideas? Or do we surround ourselves with other people and other points of view which are only consistent with our own? In the world of social media, people talk about living in an echo chamber, where you're only hearing from and agreeing with people who already hold the same point of view as yourself. What about in terms of your daily routine, your daily schedule? Are you a creature of habit? Do you have to get up at the same time? Do you have to go to bed at the same time? Do you have to have your meals at the same time of the day? Or are you flexible to how things play out? Each of us responds to these questions in our own way and has our own thoughts and reflections about how flexible we are. But I think one thing is true of perhaps all of us, and that is as we get older, we maybe become a little less flexible. I think our bodies begin to seize up a little bit, maybe not moving quite as well as we would want them to. Perhaps our thinking becomes a little bit more entrenched in terms of our point of view on certain things, and we can become creatures of habit, certainly, in terms of the way that we go about our daily routine. In fact, our society even has stock phrases for what we can turn into, particularly if we are men. We can become an archetypal grumpy old man. So perhaps when it comes to flexibility, we should be learning a little bit more from women. So perhaps, again, it's helpful that during this month of May, we have been thinking about some of the ladies in the Bible who have some form of the name of Mary and seeking to learn a little bit from them. And so today we're going to think a little bit about perhaps the most famous Mary in the Bible of them all, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and her flexible faith. And we're going to read from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And this is another test of your flexibility, because I'm going to read to you what you might think of as being a Christmas passage. So hopefully you're able to accommodate that in May. So Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. So here we have a young girl, Mary, maybe 15 or 16 years old, engaged to be married to a young man named Joseph, with her whole life ahead of her. And the last thing that she would have been expecting is an encounter with an angel, let alone the things the angel went on to say to her. But what we see in Mary is a young woman who is not fazed by these miraculous events and who is immediately prepared to have her life plans changed at the call of God. She shows tremendous flexibility and a willingness above all to trust in God. So what can we learn from her? Well, we see first that when the angel comes to her, she is greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, later in Luke, we read of another angel, maybe the same angel, coming to visit shepherds. And what we read of them is that they were absolutely terrified. Mary was troubled, not terrified. She was composed in this moment that I think would have left most of us cowed, cowering, and perhaps completely befuddled. And I don't think it's too much to be reading into this account that as a young Jewish girl, Mary was already familiar with her Bible and was seeking to live a faithful life under God. So that when the angel came to her, her response was one of thinking it through and seeking to understand in the context of her faith. And I think this is the first lesson for us, is that we need to be close to God. We need to be working on our relationship with him. We need to be spending time reading his word. We need to be spending time in prayer, meeting with fellow believers, and seeking to live out our lives faithfully for him. So that when we're confronted with a big change or a big challenge, we need not be terrified, but can think it through in the context of our faith. What is God calling me to do? How should I respond to him?
Maybe you should just ask the question. Why don't you ask him what he's asking you?
Well, if I might continue with what I was saying, maybe you would...
I was sorry for interrupting.
That's all right. If you want to take a seat or stand by the side, thank you. So going on from there, when the angel goes on to say that she will conceive and give birth to a son, her response is intelligent and practical and in no way dismissive. How will this be? Mary asks. She doesn't say, this can he be, or this won't be, or get out of here altogether. She actually inquires. And when the angel explains to her, gives her his response and explains how this is going to come about, her response is one of trust and obedience. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Did she appreciate in the moment the shame and the scorn that would come to her as an unmarried mother from her community, from her family, or even from her fiancé? She didn't take a week or a day or even an hour to think about it. She just responded in faith. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. That's tremendous flexibility. Not just putting all her plans on hold, but being prepared to have her life completely changed from this point on. And I think that's the second lesson for us, the second challenge, if you will, to really be obedient to the call of God on our lives. And this is really difficult. I want to acknowledge that. At my age and stage of life, I can look back on certain times and see how God has been with me when I perhaps couldn't see the wood from the trees. But even with that experience, now today, if I was called to be this flexible, could I respond as boldly as Mary did? Mary's faith and her obedience would be personally very costly, but from her obedience would come the birth of the one who would change everything, the one who would defeat death itself and open up the way for each of us to have a restored relationship with our Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus. It is through the obedience of ordinary, flawed individuals like Mary, like you and me, that God is at work building his kingdom. And the challenge for each of us is to be obedient to that call. And that obedience flows from our relationship with him. So just in closing, I would draw your attention to one other thing that I noted as I was thinking about these verses today. And that's for someone who is so well known in the Bible. Actually, there are very few recorded words from Mary herself. The first we've read in our passage today. The second is the glorious song that she sings when she encounters her relative Elizabeth later in this chapter. The third is a very relatable human experience when her 12-year-old son, Jesus, stays at the temple following the Passover feast and they lose track of him for 3 days. But the final words we read of Mary we read in John's Gospel at the account of the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Jesus is a grown man and has begun his ministry. His mother Mary is present with him at the wedding, and when the wine is gone, she has a brief exchange with her son. This is the son she has loved from birth, the son the angel told her would be great, the son of the Most High, to whom the Lord God would give the throne of his father David, who will reign over Jacob's descendants forever and whose kingdom would never end. Mary is now likely in her 40s. She has seen her son grow in wisdom and in stature. The flexibility and faith that she exhibited when the angel came to her has been more than validated by her experience of what God has done in her life and what she has seen in her son. So these last recorded words we read of Mary are in John 2, verse 5, and they're simply these: do whatever he tells you. And that's what we're called to do as well, to do whatever he tells us. Flexibility is important, and it's helpful. Flexibility in our bodies, where exercise can help us maintain a degree of movement. Flexibility in our minds, where intellectually we can be open to different points of view and different thinking. And flexibility in our faith, coming through a close relationship with the Lord, reading his word, spending time in prayer, spending time with fellow believers, and seeking to faithfully follow him, so that as followers of him, we can hear his voice, we can be obedient, and we can do whatever he tells us to do. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know each of us better even than we know ourselves. You know our backgrounds, our limitations, you know what's on our mind and on our hearts. You know, Lord, what we need to hear from you. And so we pray that you help each of us in our own way to draw closer to you, to be resolved to get to know you better through your word, through spending time with fellow believers in prayer and developing a closer relationship with your son, in whose name and by whom we can come before you and learn to hear what you would have us do in our lives. Bless us this day, Father, we pray. Watch over us in the rest of this day and this week and in all that is before us, as we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.